My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Stayed at Washington through the coaching transition because, you know, he committed to play for Kalen DeBoer, and then he ends up with Jed Fish instead. And then Fish doesn't get, you know, Kafita to transfer with him. So, I mean, Will Rogers playing for Jed Fish at Washington. I don't think any of us could have seen that coming 18 months ago.
No. And then do you know how to say McMillan's first name?
Tetaroa.
Okay, there you go. He didn't get him to go to Washington either.
Right, yeah. I think Washington's in for, I mean, this might be obvious, but they're in for a rude awakening. Like, you see a team that was in the national title game not appear in the AP poll. That's usually a pretty firm sign that some serious regression is in store. So, yeah, I think it's crazy how many transfer quarterbacks are being relied upon in the Big Ten. That's the big differentiating factor to me between the SEC and the Big Ten,
yeah,
and why I think the SEC on the whole is a stronger conference. I'm not saying the SEC is definitely going to get more playoff teams than the Big Ten. It might not, but I think the SEC is a deeper, probably better league. Like, if we were trying to put teams into a 64-team NCAA tournament like in basketball, the SEC would definitely put more teams into that this year because there's more known commodities at quarterback, whereas you look even some of the contenders in the Big Ten are bringing in transfers, and there's just natural uncertainty with that. I mean, you look at Dylan Gabriel coming in at Oregon, Will Howard coming in at Ohio State, and that's just the two top-of-the-line guys. I mean, over half the league, I think, has transfers at QB, which is, I mean, just a lot of wild cards there for a league that is expected to kind of dominate.
I, like you, thought the same thing. I could not believe when I went to go look at the win total, 6.5. I was like, what am I missing there? Because I'm like you, man. I kind of want to smash that under because their conference slate is at Rutgers. That's going to be like a miserable football game. You know what I mean? Just you know Rutgers is going to be fired up. It's going to be a Friday night, short week, flying all the way across the country. Michigan at Iowa. USC at Penn State, UCLA, Oregon. It's like, man, like if they go 6-6, you still win the bet. And I'm like, that feels like it'd be a good season.
Without a doubt, yeah. Washington didn't make my win totals play, but they were definitely in consideration.
they were in the others receiving votes.
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, I've got Rutgers on the over, which when I did that tally, I have Rutgers winning that game over Washington when I'm making my Rutgers tally, of course. And then my other Big Ten play is UCLA under 5. You talk about teams with first-year coaches with facing that coast-to-coast transition in conference, kind of like Washington. I mean, UCLA, there's a reason Chip Kelly left, and he's, you know, I think he was smart to do that because UCLA faces the toughest schedule in the league. And I don't think they have the horses to handle that. So, yeah, I'm on UCLA under 5, and I almost got there with Washington. But you know, I do have enough belief in Jed Fish as a coach.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think they're going to get there. It's kind of like Jeff Levy in Mississippi State. Like, I think it's a good hire. I just don't know that in the short term, like it's really going to work out.
All right, let's close here. So it's announced that Harbaugh is going to be the honorary captain to open the season. Yesterday, according to Harbaugh, he made the decision to call the school, going to step away, but they're going to honor his parents. I don't know what to believe. I think this is the theory I have in my head that I'm closest to believing in. There's probably Michigan money and power people that want to honor Harbaugh because he gave them a title. And there was probably people at the school that were like, oh, God, do we have to? You announce it, and you let people go like, well, what are they doing? And then you allow it to, like, quietly sort itself out. I don't even understand the point. Why even do it in the first place?
to give the NCAA a big middle finger?
That has to be booster driven, right? Because I can't see a school wanting to do that. Because when schools get an NCAA stuff, they're looking for the fastest way out.
Well, I wonder if that's what ultimately nixed this. Like, I kind of doubt it was Jim Harbaugh calling up Sharon Moore and saying, "Hey, buddy, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it back." It may have been Ward Manuel's out on a podcast saying that Harbaugh is going to come back. Then the university administration maybe didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And this is me speculating. You know, the university administration maybe then pulls the plug. That would be my guess. I don't know. That's not informed.
But no, I mean, we're both speculating. I just feel like the one thing that I feel most confident in that didn't happen is that Harbaugh just called him up and was like, you know what? No, thank you.
Yeah. Right. So, and then the Harbaughs will still be honored, obviously, because you mentioned his parents are going to be there. I've written way too many Jim Harbaugh stories over the last 2.5 weeks. The man is not even a college football coach anymore, yet he is still like neck and neck with Deion Sanders for the character that's being the most covered right now by college football. It's insane.
I'm texting Mark. I'm going to say, what's the actual story with Harbaugh?
Surely he knows.
He's guaranteed he's been perusing the boards. If he hadn't been perusing the boards, his group chat has. Like, his group chat was going nuts when, did you not see, Harbaugh said if he was guilty, he'd apologize. He said he's not apologizing. Mark had to explain to him. He said he's not apologizing today. That's all he said. That was Mark's whole point. All right, buddy, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man, thank you.
David Cobb of CBS Sports. When we come back, Steve's going to rejoin the program. We got news about where the Memphis Grizzlies are going to open training camp. It's not in Memphis. We'll tell you about it when we come back. We'll get into that. Hard Knocks also coming up during hour number 2. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's get into the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
You just made the list!
Yeah, see, this comes to us from my buddy DeMichael Cole over at The Commercial Appeal. The Memphis Grizzlies will be moving the beginning of their preseason training camp to Nashville this year. The Grizzlies will spend October 1st through 3rd practicing in Nashville at the Ensworth School. If you need to know what that is, Steve, that is the Frist family. They wanted to make the big Nashville boys school co-ed, and the school wouldn't do it, so they spent like $1 billion-plus building their own school like on the outside of Nashville. Here's what I'll tell you. When I call high school football games and we go up there, I've covered SEC football fields that are not as well manicured and as good as that place is. So no shortage of money. But the reason is, at least the reason being given is, they will be opening training camp while FedEx Forum undergoes renovations. Upgrade to FedEx Forum's rigging grid and sound system restrict the amount of usable space in the Grizzlies' home arena. DeMichael notes that this isn't the first time the Grizzlies will spend some of their preseason camp in Nashville. The team also did so back in 2013. The Grizzlies will not spend its entire camp in Nashville, however. The Grizzlies have a home preseason game at FedEx Forum on October the 10th against the Hornets. The team's annual open practice for fans is still expected to be held at FedEx Forum. Okay, here's the reason why I bring this up, Steve. So the Grizzlies right now are going through, the state has given them roughly $300 million. There's also some tax incentives for massive, massive renovations to the FedEx Forum. Plans have not been finalized. Plans have not been announced. Further, and they're probably all tied together, the Grizzlies have not signed another long-term lease. So, I ask you, an unobjective observer, do you think if I'm starting to read a little into let's go to Nashville for no reason? Because I want to be clear, while FedEx Forum's undergoing some operations, I don't think their operations are going to be in their practice facility. They could still practice. The fact that they're going to Nashville, I don't think that was just brought up out of thin air.
Yeah, based on what we know about past situations. At first, I thought, wow, this is a great move because, you know, you're three plus hours
yeah,
away.
Yeah, it's roughly 3 hours, yeah.
You're creating a new fan base. Immediately, I thought, well, Pat Riley used to take the Knicks down to Charleston, South Carolina. And he would do that to make it harder on the media. Some media people, even back then, would not go. And it was it was sort of a closed camp, and he could control the message, and he can control what the guys were doing out and stuff like that. Now the Knicks practice outside of New York City in Westchester, so that's kind of where they have their second operation. But yeah, as you kind of give each layer of this, I mean, the state is giving money towards this. I mean, it always comes down to money, as you said. But you know, it's giving to the organization. Is it a move down the road to say, hey, if Memphis isn't going to give us a new arena, I mean, we have to think jaded in that sense of it happens in other places, and there's almost a playbook that major league or, you know, that, yes. that professional oh, yes. sports organizations play of, you know what, this is just the first step. And you know what? We will go over to Nashville. And if we're very well received, hey, by the way, we've got NBA here in the state, then perhaps that's, you know, well, you know, maybe Nashville down the road wants to flirt and say, we'll give you exactly what you want. Yeah. Every single piece we will give you. If Memphis isn't going to do it, and it's scary to think, but that could be in the next decade. I again, not knowing all of it, but
yeah.
The layers that you unveiled there, organizations have gone down this road before. But overall, I think it could be good. I mean, you're always wanting to build buzz to the fan base, and you can play that side of it, but cautiously, because it sounds like this is, you know, maybe it's not even the first step. Maybe there are a couple of steps down the road, but there's always something here, and it's always the money, and you kind of go from there. But if they're building the fan base, they're getting out of town for a couple of days, you know, you've been out of town. You do want to be back in front of Memphis. You do want to be in front of the media. You want to be in front of the fans. You want to get the message out there, all that stuff. But now you're going cross state for, you know, for what is it, 10 days?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Yeah. I mean, they're practicing at the high school for three. But let me also lay out a couple other details. Number one,
okay.
Nashville's, I mean, if we're talking about in terms of the wealth of the city, like Nashville's way wealthier, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Like the last 20 years, like it used to be a rivalry. Now it's just kind of like everyone's like, all right, whatever. It's also important to note they're building the Titans a new football stadium, $2.1 billion, right. So they can host Final Fours, you know, potentially get the Super Bowl, all of that. I find it hard to believe that the NBA would move to an arena where they're going to be the second tenant, because the Predators are going to be the primary tenant in that arena. Mm-hmm. I also don't think Nashville's just going to build another arena. They're trying to also get Major League Baseball.
Major whatnot. League Baseball.
And again, to your point, the Grizzlies, I think, know they probably need to be a regional team. Like, you need to have people coming in from Nashville for the weekends to spend money, go to the Grizzlies right. games. Like, St. Louis doesn't have an NBA team. Like, you, Birmingham, same thing. Like, there are legitimate reasons for doing this and taking them. I would feel differently, though, if I would feel like that's the case. It's just weird to me. Like, if you're going to Bridgestone Arena, which is the big arena in Nashville, like, that's one thing. You're going to a high school? Like, it's an extremely nice high school. I don't know. It's odd to me. Something isn't passing the smell test.
Yeah, exactly, and I think we're both on the same track there. Of, you know, this again in the early stages of just, you know, now you're over there. Now you can sort of have conversations.
Yeah,
you know,
hey
by the way, you know, hey, you're doing all this, the football stadium. You know, it could be professional. You know, it could be Major League Baseball in the next 10 years. This is the place to be. How does the NBA do that within state, though? Because you are going to. I guess, you know, even
if you wanted to go,
I don't want to say this to Memphis people, because I'm not all completely in the know on everything. You're doing a great job of, you know, giving me the pieces of the puzzle, but it's like the NBA, the professional sports team, is not going to mind moving. And if they're going to be of the belief, if people from Memphis still want to follow this franchise, they will come to Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, and a sense of, you know, if it's an older fan base, then, you know, we've got to get to the younger fan base. Is that in Memphis? Where are you better off? And again, I know I'm going down some different roads here.
No, I mean, if you're talking about young professionals, Nashville would definitely be the better spot. I guess if you wanted to take the optimistic view, the building costs have gone through the roof. So when the Grizzlies thought that they were, you know, when they had the original plans, somewhere between $300 and $500 million was going to be able to do basically what they wanted to do. Well, now, not necessarily as much. Maybe you go to Nashville and you that's where the state legislator is, and you start to say, like, hey, like, look, this is, everybody's into this. Like, you need to see how important the NBA is, and maybe you can get a few more shackles that way. I mean, I'm trying.
So that
I'm
money,
yeah.
That money's to renovate. It's nothing on the books, nothing on the horizon of a new arena in Memphis.
It's to renovate.
Nowadays, when you're talking $500 million to renovate, It's sort of like the Jets and Giants. You spent all that money and you still didn't put some sort of roof on your stadium.
Yeah.
Some sort of dome on your stadium.
You built an erector
set. To renovate it, eventually, you know, down the road, if you're going to play and you're going to keep up with everyone else, you're going to have to build a new, what we call state of the art. And if you want to talk just NBA, you know, look at how many markets have already built brand new arenas in the last. I think Phoenix a couple of years ago renovated. They did not build brand new in Phoenix. But what's coming next?
Well, Las Vegas, and that is going to be the absolute crown jewel. Another small market. Oklahoma City's got a deal in place to get a brand new arena. And the problem with FedEx Forum is FedEx Forum was built in that early part of the first decade of the 2000s. And I bring that up because that style of arena, everything was kind of patterned off of when people saw what the Palace at Auburn Hills did for Detroit with all the suites and how that was so successful. Everyone started getting obsessed with suites, suites, suites. And so the idea, FedEx Forum has the layout of a lot of those arenas, the Pepsi Center, the whatever, the artist formerly known as Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, where like 18 rows up, they have suites, and they were called courtside suites. Well, if you look at how arenas are now configured, the new ones, what everybody's done is they realized, hey, why do I have to buy this whole suite? I can buy four of the best seats I want, and I'm going to get half the price. And so FedEx Forum's kind of constructed like in reverse of what it should be, where almost half the seats are at the top, and that's not the revenue seats. And so they would love to be able to just flip the bowls, but to your point of what you're talking about, that's now essentially buying a new arena. And, you know, $500 million doesn't do that. So now you're talking about largely just making the configuration you have nicer, but it just gets so complicated because on the one hand, almost everyone acknowledges if you do like a pure economic study, arenas and stadiums don't make economic sense. But at the same time, to your point,
never. That's the cost of doing business. Yeah. What I would be left out on the room on, Jeffrey, by the powers that be and the folks with the big dollars, is I would say learn what privately financed is over publicly financed. Because
it's what the Patriots did.
I was at the Rangers Stadium years ago, and we've talked Jerry Jones the last couple of days, and I was doing the RBI World Series for MLB Advanced Media, and I'm in the ballpark with a former major leaguer. My partner is going to be Mark McLemore.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, this is a really great ballpark. And he's like, yeah, too bad it's going away. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
It doesn't have air conditioning.
We didn't do it the right way. And in the world of Texas, we can do that. You know, we made a mistake. Let's fix it within 25 years. Atlanta, Turner Field should have lasted another 20 to 25 years, but it didn't. And the Braves, again, some of these ownership groups are very smart. Hey, we're not only in the business of baseball, and all these owners, this isn't their number one business. But now we've made a neighborhood. Now we've made a small town. Now we've made almost a mini city just outside of Atlanta, and we're bringing all that revenue in. And guess what? We don't have to share it with the players' union either.
And that's a huge part of it.
Huge. So, privately finance everything. I mean, at least, you know, but like you said, I mean, I was in Staten Island, New York, of all places in the world. I spent 8 months there, which was like 10 years of my life. And the amount of stuff that was said and promised of what it was going to do for Staten Island, you could put Staten Island in Memphis. It would be the same town. It's a borough of New York City. But that wasn't going to have great revenue streams for Staten Island. You're 20 miles across the way. Think of the farthest points in Memphis. That's where you were in Staten Island. And it took, you might have been 20 miles, but it still took you an hour to get there. Yeah. There was no one other on the opposite end of Staten Island that was coming over to Staten Island Yankee games. It was beautiful view of Manhattan. And at the time, the Twin Towers, that went away. And that's all it was. The location was, they don't have a team anymore. That tells you what the location was. It wasn't a good one because people of Staten Island weren't going to make that trip down there. And the people of Manhattan weren't taking the Staten Island ferry over there to watch minor league baseball. Tell me I'm done.
Also, isn't Staten Island, isn't that more like Mets territory?
No, Yankees.
Yankees? So what's the breakdown? Yeah. Long Island's Mets?
Long Island's Mets. Manhattan, you could say, is both nowadays. The Bronx, obviously, is
Yankees.
Small part of Queens. Yeah, small part of Queens, and where the Mets are is certainly Mets. Where the Mets are, but Staten Island. No, the Yankees when they did it, the Yankees went to Staten Island, and the Mets had their team over in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And still are operating and operating, fairly successfully. They're right in Coney Island, and they have success. But as minor league games have now been streamed more and more, and I don't watch them nightly, but you see videos and clips of it's how we watch games. Boy, and coming from the minor league baseball world out of college and being there for almost a decade, a lot of these ballparks are empty nowadays. And you know what? That's not affordable family entertainment the way it was shoved down my throat to throw it out there to the community and our advertisers and stuff like that. That's a pretty penny these days. Again, you can tell me to stop now.
No. All I'm saying, that's another. Let's just say Memphis is going through the same thing. I mean, the Cardinals AAA affiliates here. In the year 2000, they built a ballpark downtown, and it was kind of like it was built at a time where Memphis didn't really have a great sense of self, and it really turned out great. But now, it's 25 years later, it really needs some TLC, and where's the money coming from? I mean, that's kind of the other thing. And then with the Grizzlies, you have this other reality that their owner, Robert Pera, is one of the richest NBA owners, but it's just like, hey, man, that's just not the world. It's like the public builds the arena and the team benefits. And it's one of those situations where, like, I've made peace with it in the sense that, hey, it's the cost of doing business, but it is kind of insane that we've allowed it get to this point. Although I have noticed there's been a little bit more pushback, I feel like, recently. When Leonsis with D.C. was trying to go to Virginia, that kind of got pushed back. The Bears have tried to strong-arm their way into Arlington Heights. That got pushed back. Who knows what's going to happen with the Browns Stadium, moving it out of downtown. It does feel like we're not just letting these teams walk over us as much anymore. The problem that the Grizzlies have is it's the only team. You know what I mean? And you lose that team. Yep. And I think psychologically, it's just devastating.
Yep. You lose significant revenue streams. You do. But let's see where Oakland is in 5 years. Are they better off and not on the hook for a new arena for the Golden State Warriors, and they went across the way to San Francisco? Is the city somewhat better off without the Oakland A's in the future? Can they be a true, a legit minor league city? And going back to what you say about Memphis and when they brought in the AAA, and, they've had minor league baseball for many decades, but as they kind of got bigger there, did they become a legit, city in that realm of, this is what we are. This is what we are identified as. And we're going to be the best at this. We are going to be that down home within the city limits. And that, then you get the Grizzlies. Now all of a sudden you're playing, in a deeper end of the pool, and you're starting to think, wow, we're being recognized. We are the Memphis Grizzlies. We have them. That's our identity. That's part of our identity. With everything else that's great about Memphis, the Grizzlies. Hey, Grizzlies, that's your home team. Yeah, it is now. They moved. They came here. But where is Oakland in five to 10 years? Fiscally, in terms of a city that's not on the hook, again, for an arena and a brand new baseball stadium, publicly financed on both ends, because that's what they were trying to play.
I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that, man, because my wife even, brought it up the other night. She's like, Oakland in what has gone, in 5 years? When did the Chase Center open? I feel like it's... I think it's post-pandemic.
Inside of 5 years.
I think it's post-pandemic.
Is this year three?
I think it's maybe post-pandemic. I want to say the year of the empty arena was their first year. But in 5 years, they've gone from having NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball to now they're going to have nothing.
Tells you a lot about the ownership groups of the sports teams. And Lacombe is, I think, has got a good reputation, but the Davis family certainly did not. The folks involved with, the A's
Fisher's
thing has been a mess.
John Fisher is the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst. But at the time when he took over ownership, it was like, good, he'll be better than the next guy. No, in Oakland, the next owner is actually worse than the previous owners. The Haas family in the early 80s was probably the best that they had, but the family wanted to get out. As the kids sort of became more involved, they realized they didn't want to be involved, and then it sort of went from there. But also the city too. The city of Oakland. These things probably could have been taken care of, but they tried to put their foot down in different ways and try to haggle with. Again, it's not just the Oakland franchise. It's not just the A's. It's Major League Baseball. They've played this game. You go back, of what the Twins were and what, Washington, D.C. did have baseball in it. It goes back. I think you and I were talking the other day about Los Angeles. Yep. You're familiar with it. It goes back to the Dodgers going to Los Angeles and the Giants going from New York all the way out to San Francisco. And the Dodgers could only move if they had another team going out that way.
It's 100% the same. All right, let's quickly do this because I want to discuss some Hard Knocks with you. Machine Gun Kelly.
You just made the list!
All right, Steve. I want to be very clear on this. I'm not exactly what I would consider a ride-or-die Machine Gun Kelly fan. Quite frankly, him and Megan Fox disgust me. I got to tip my cap. And I think this first pitch last night before the Guardians game, I think it's brilliant. And here's the reason why I think it's brilliant. I watched him throw. There was a 0.0% chance that guy was going to throw a first pitch anywhere near the strike zone. This was a clever way. It's a clever way to get out of throwing the first pitch and kind of getting your name out there. Now, I will admit the problem that I have with it is, like everything in life, it's going to get copied and it's just going to be overdone and what. Like, we can't just let something happen one time and be done with it. But I thought it was pretty good. He even had the fake throw to, he fakes the pick to third before launching into the stands. I got to give him credit. Like, I think he probably knew only bad things are going to happen if I actually throw this first pitch. I think he figured a way out. I got to give credit where credit's due. As much as I'm not a fan of his work, I thought it was well done.
Did he hit anybody?
So I was watching on SportsCenter. They were showing some video of the steps. It appeared no, maybe hit some beer and beer spilled, but it looked like there was no damage.
So two things. One, if I had tried to do that, the person would be in the hospital through the next day, right? Because I would end up hitting somebody who wasn't paying attention, and there would be lawsuits and all of that stuff. But the next person, or the person after that, or the person after that, I only give Machine Gun Kelly props in this way. He got it over the netting,
yep,
and it seemed like he got it well over the dugout.
Yep.
Somebody's going to try to do that, and they're not. They may not even realize.
Oh, they're going to hit the net. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh, there's a net there. I didn't even get it over the net. So that'll happen soon, and I will chuckle at that one. Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, well, that's not for me. That's not my. I'm not his audience. And yes, and I thought the same thing. Who's going to be the next one to do it?
Yep.
Who's going to try to be creative and be the next one to do it? Because it's coming. Guys have thrown, players have thrown, and there are messages, minor league, major league baseball ballparks, they're not on the hook for anything thrown from the field. You have to be on the alert. He didn't hit anybody. Again, I guarantee you 100%, if I had done that as me, a 75-year-old woman's getting hit in the nose.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but yeah, I've thrown it up there, and she's going to be bloody.
Yeah, you just know the
luck.
That's
me.
All right, yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk Hard Knocks. Episode 2 last night, we even got a look at the preseason game between the Bears and the Bills. We'll break it down for you next when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I get the sense you liked it. What were your thoughts?
I did. And, you know, I really enjoyed the 2+, and we've got another 2 days after this, Jeffrey, this week. I think on this one, we hit it from different sides. And I'm not saying that you don't appreciate the from where I'm coming from, but you are football, football, football. You wanted to see those images, and you wanted to see the plays made between the Bears and the Bills at the end of episode number 2 of Hard Knocks. I love the storylines. Now, I love the football stuff, but I love the storylines and understanding different things and the messages that were sent and the messages that I would love to share with my boys and have them understand. You get to Sunday in the NFL and you play and you have success because of everything you've done leading up to that particular day. That was a great one. The family stuff was great to me. I ate that up and I thought it was a great episode for it. And, you know, it started off great. I mean, I was ready to run through a wall, and I learned about Jonathan Owens. By the way, he wasn't with the team. He was off in Paris with his wife, Simone Biles. So there was just a lot from that side of it that it hit me 100%. I got everything out of it. Did you get what you wanted out of the football side?
So I like you. I enjoyed the narrative stuff too. And I recognize Hard Knocks has to do that as well. Like, that's how you bring it to a broader audience. Here was my problem with it. I thought episode 1 was damn near a home run. And last night, we got a lot of good stuff from Caleb Williams in episode 1. Last night, to me, felt like, just having watched so many Hard Knocks, it felt like a lot of manufactured scenes where they're like, hey, let's talk about what your first memory was and stuff like that, rather than giving us the stuff that they're actually talking about, which is what fascinates me. I will say, though, the more and more that I've watched it, I come away impressed with two particular people. Number one, I kind of thought coming into the season, I thought Caleb Williams was going to come across as the guy that's trying super hard to be liked, and it would kind of fall flat, be disingenuous. I find him to be likable. Like, I really do think, like, 100%. Okay, that guy can be the leader of a team. And then we didn't get a ton of him last night, and we haven't gotten a ton of him this season. But every little bit they show of Ryan Poles, I'm left thinking, that guy's pretty impressive. And if I'm a Bears fan, I think that's the two things that I would be the most excited about is, I feel like the guy putting the roster together knows what he's doing, and he's made smart moves. And then with Caleb, like, hey, man, like, I feel like as a rookie quarterback, he's doing the right things. And to me, the biggest problem that I had with last night was it felt a little bit more manufactured. And maybe I have Hard Knocks PTSD. When we start getting the manufactured scenes, that's when I realize, like, the team's getting their hands on the final copy, the final edit. That was really the biggest problem that I had with it. But overall, thought it was great. Also, it's nice to see my boy Austin Reed get some shine for those degenerates like myself that have had to watch Western Kentucky, watch the guy sling it. Guy can throw the football. But also, I don't know if you caught this. Us quarterbacks that really weren't super talented, we had to have good play fakes. Some of those toss sweeps with his form really carrying out the fake of the toss sweep. Nothing I love seeing more than, like, the third team quarterback coming in and going super fundamental. I loved all that. I ate it all up.
And I think at one point they talked about, it might have been him who reminded the running back of, hey, sell this.
Yep, sell
the handoff.
Yep.
Sell the fake. The one I had to leave the room this afternoon, and I had to go focus on something else, but I took it all the way to the end, and I loved it. I'm glad I caught it. It was Josh Allen.
Yep.
Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Hey. And he's got a lot of tricks in that bag, but he's like, hey, save that for the regular season. I love that. I love that I caught that. And I didn't miss it, because that was a great line. That's a young veteran saying, hey, don't empty it all out here in these games.
I think he also told him to get that flag too. Draw that 15. I loved that. I did indeed love that. A couple of the other moments that I loved, the halftime speech, because if you really broke down what the halftime speech was, it was, let's run the ball and get some turnovers. Basically what they were saying is, like, let's get out of here. And I did love that. It's just like, hey, like, let's short the clock. We've been here longer than we need to. There are a couple other little moments that I loved, and this is any one of us that have put the pads on. It was nice to see a guy that's the number one draft pick. He's going to be a multi-millionaire. It was nice to see a guy that still couldn't strap his pads. There's nothing more infuriating when you're trying to put on the pads and that strap gets stuck underneath and you need somebody to go pull it out. When Caleb Williams had to have, I think it was Rome Odunze that had to get the strap for him, it's like, yeah, I've been there before. It's some of those like little subtle moments that just, like, there's no way my wife caught that, but it's like, oh man, that's
right.
That kind of brought me back.
I thought immediately that he, you know, okay, this, you know, he lost a piece of his equipment. And as a parent or as a kid, we've all done it where it's like, all right, we got to go back home or check your bag for the 27th time. Mouth guard, all those things. It was like, well, he's been here before. But, you know, the teammates said, you know, basically, you know, like you said, Odunze, I mean, it was a nice storyline there. And I mean, how about that? I mean, you know, both rookies and what they're going to do in year one, at least, you know, projected and what is hopeful for, you know, for the Bears organization and for Bears fans. But Rome there understood, yeah, I got you this time, but it's going to happen to me in the next couple of weeks. And I don't want to hear any of your, you know, I don't want to hear anything. I helped you out. You're going to help me out down the road. And I don't want to hear that I can't dress myself.
Another moment that I loved was Chad Morton, the running backs coach, asking the highly, highly leading question when he was calling, I can't remember if he was calling Wheeler or if it was Jones, calling him Eeyore.
Wheeler.
Yeah, he's calling him Wheeler Eeyore. And he's like, yeah, I know Winnie the Pooh. And then he just immediately, oh, you watched Winnie the Pooh, huh? He was using it against him. Like, that, he just let him into it. Like, of course, like, that's... That was right. Dirty. That was very, very dirty by Morton.
Ian Wheeler, you know, I mean, football coaches are at a different level. And what I appreciated was, and they mentioned of Caleb Williams, hey, you know, they're dissecting every single piece of video. And they're like, you know, they made mention of it early on. He's starting to look more comfortable. He's understanding that he belongs here. But yeah, that relationship with Wheeler and the coach there, and he was riding him, but he was also, you know, enjoying his success as well. But to get Winnie the Pooh in there, and you learn that Ian Wheeler, you know, down the road, you know, is giving up med school right now to chase his dream. He only has a handful of years here. Whether he's a superstar, not everyone's Tom Brady, whether he's a superstar in the future, or he's got a couple of years in the league. Medical school can wait right now, but he's night and day, you know, in terms of, you know, away from the football field, he's night and day, about, you know, over just about probably everybody there.
No, I that was my other note. Wheeler's too impressive of a person. Like, you shouldn't be able to get both. You shouldn't be able to have med school and the NFL be both options. You should only get one or the
right.
other.
But wasn't there somebody with the Chiefs a few years ago? I think it was an international guy who
was
I think
he played
background.
I think Florida State. I think it was a German guy.
So here's one. Let me ask you this.
All right.
The show starts off. It's the voice is there and everything, and there's the build up, and you know Caleb Williams is drafted number one. He's got the conversation. Then it goes into it. The music stuff with the guys playing in the band, was that tied into the show at all? Because what I was thinking was, and just like with Ian Wheeler, so many of these guys, you know, I don't have a hobby, and I'm stupid for not having a hobby at the age I'm at. I'm not good at anything else except for talking into this microphone, and there are a lot of people who will say you're not even good at that. But the talents that they have just outside of their vocation of being football right now. But I didn't have any. I thought there was going to be a tie-in where there was one of the, you know, a coach or one of the players that was, you know, that plays music that is terrific in terms of an instrument. But I never got that tie-in. Did I miss it?
No, because I think last year the Jets had a drummer, correct? I think the Jets last year they had a guy that was a drummer. No, so it actually was a little offensive to us. Last week, they called Chicago the home of the blues, and that's us. Like, and also, like, you think, if you think Chicago, you think music, it's jazz. It's not the blues, and so...
Right.
But no, I don't... I was like you. I thought they were trying to set up that somebody on the team or somebody on the coaching staff was part of the band that was playing, but I think they were just trying
to
scene set.
Okay.
But I mean, that one also. Roma Dunze's mom's veneers; those were shining stars. She was showing off those pearly whites. Those look great. Also, one last thing: I loved the look into referee research when they brought in the guy to sit down Caleb and Eberflus, like, hey, here's the rep. 100%. Here's what you, like, they cut it off. They cut off before you had to, like, fill in the dots, but, like, or connect the dots. But I know exactly what they were going to say is, hey, this crew calls, you know, illegal contact at a higher rate than others. Let it go. Like, I love that that's a part of it. Like, it's always something I assumed that they did, but, like, it was kind of cool to see, like, hey, they actually do go through that.
Yeah, 100%. Right on board with you on that one. I picked that one up, too.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Steve, for today's Don't Tell the Story, Tell Your Story. I don't know how familiar you are with Hoover, Alabama, but once upon a time, MTV chronicled Hoover High School on the cinematic masterpiece, Two-A-Days. One of the stars of Two-A-Days was head coach Rush Prost. Rush Prost was then forced to resign from Hoover after it was discovered he had two families. He also then later coached in Georgia. He's been having to resign for not following the rules there. Well, the recent scandal that's happened at Hoover, Steve, is that there's been practice video of coaches engaging in what is at best extremely tough, unnecessary coaching, at worst probably abuse. Well, AL.com asked Rush for a comment about how he has reacted to the Hoover practice videos that have come out. He said this, Steve, you just have to coach with integrity. There's a man that knows about coaching with integrity. It is indeed Rush Prost. Don't tell the story. Tell your story. Steve, I appreciate it, my man. Let's do it again tomorrow. What do you say?
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your night.
Want to thank David Kopp for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Steve, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.